Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and Spanish, Nepali and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. In his book, The Holiness of God, Dr. R.C. Sproul reminds us there is a tendency to take God's grace for granted. He tells us how he taught a first-year Old Testament course at a Christian college, and there were 250 people in that class. On the very first day of the class, he told the students there would be three papers due that semester. Each one of them must be handed in on time. Late papers would result in an automatic failing grade. So the first assignment came due in September. 225 students handed in their papers, but 25 didn't. Some of the students asked for an extension. They said they were having trouble making the high school to college adjustment. Then when the October assignment was due, 200 had their papers ready and 50 did not. Their excuse? It was homecoming week, midterm, and all the other classes had assignments due as well. When November rolled around, 150 students handed in their assignments, and the other 100 strolled into the lecture hall utterly unconcerned. "Where are your papers?" Dr. Sproul asked. "Oh, don't worry, Professor. We're working on them. We'll have them for you in a couple of days. No sweat." Dr. Sproul then relates, "I picked up my lethal black gradebook and began taking down names. Johnson, do you have your paper?" "No, sir," came the reply. "F," I said, as I wrote in the book. "Muldaney." Students reacted with fury, screaming, "That's not fair." So I looked at one of the howling students. "Lavery, you think it's not fair?" "No," he growled. "I see. It's justice you want? I recall you were late with your paper the last time. If you insist upon justice, you will certainly get it. I'll not only give you an F for this assignment, but I'll change your last grade to the F that you deserve." He was stunned. He had no more arguments, and he quickly apologized and was happy to settle for one F instead of two. Dr. Sproul continues, "The students had quickly taken my mercy for granted. When justice suddenly fell, they were unprepared for it. It came as a shock, and they were outraged. In the same way, we come to expect God to be merciful. And from there, the next step is easy. We demand it. When it's not forthcoming, our response is anger against God, and we say or think it isn't fair. We soon forget that with our first sin, we have forfeited all rights to the gift of life. That I'm drawing breath this day is an act of divine mercy. God doesn't owe me anything, but I owe him everything. Do we see that? Do you know now why God is angry? Because every breath we take with no movement towards God is a real slap in his face. It is taking for granted the many chances we have to turn around, but instead, we take his grace and mercy for granted." And that's the end of the quote. You know, friend, those are sobering words for us to consider, and they fit well with the portion of Scripture that's before us today. In the opening verses of Luke chapter 13, Jesus talks about repentance and mercy. So I invite you to listen as I read Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. I will then explain them under the title, "Unless You Repent." There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the keeper of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that you shall cut it down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we examine the words of Jesus in this text, open my heart and the heart of my listening friend to receive the truth. Help us to understand the need for repentance and the danger of presuming on your mercy. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus' words in this text convey several warnings relating to our understanding of repentance and mercy. The first warning is an erroneous conclusion. These verses of our text are the opening of a new chapter in our copies of the Scripture, but let's be careful not to separate them from the preceding context, because that could lead us to erroneous conclusions. As Jesus was warning the crowd about the need for discernment and repentance, a group of people brought some news to him. They reported that Pilate, the Roman governor, had killed some Galileans in the temple, mingling their blood with the blood of the sacrifices. One commentary I read suggested these Galileans killed by Pilate may have been followers of Judas of Galilee, who advocated and instigated a rebellion against Rome. You can find record of his insurrection in Acts chapter 5 and verse 37. Now, it's important for us to understand the mindset of those who brought this report and the others in the crowd. John gives us insight into the Jewish understanding of sin in John chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. This is what those verses say. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, they understood tragedy as punishment directly relating to sinful behavior. So this report of the men whom Pilate had killed was raised so Jesus could confirm their belief. But Jesus quickly told them they had reached an erroneous conclusion. He asked them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because of the way in which they died? This was exactly what they were thinking. They had a faulty theory of divine retribution, and they based it on verses like Job 4:7, which says, Remember, I pray, who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Jesus then went on to cite another example. He said, What about those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they greater debtors than all the other people who live in Jerusalem? Alfred Edersheim suggests this may have happened during Pilate's construction of an aqueduct into Jerusalem. In fact, Josephus records that Pilate used money for that construction project which he had taken from the temple. It had been money devoted for temple purposes, and Pilate took it for his own building project. That the Jewish laborers would have worked on this cursed structure and been killed in its collapse seemed to the crowd as a just judgment on their traitorous brothers. In these two examples, we have polar opposites of Jewish experience at the time. One was the nationalistic movement with its messianic tendencies, trying to subvert and overthrow the Roman government. The other was absolute subjection to the Roman authorities. Now, no doubt there were many people in between those two positions, but Jesus quickly pointed out that blaming either of them for these calamities was an erroneous conclusion. Jesus' answer to these questions about these people being worse sinners is an emphatic no. In the Greek text, it's the first word in the sentence, in both verses 3 and 5 of our text. The fact that it is repeated adds additional emphasis. There's an underlying principle for us to consider. When calamities befall a particular region or a group of people or an individual, we have neither the responsibility nor the right to assign blame for it. Instead, you and I should think spiritually about its general application. We should, first of all, thank God for our own longevity. We should ask Him what He wants us to learn in this situation. Things like empathy and compassion and generosity. So let's not fall into the same trap these people did and allow ourselves to reach an erroneous conclusion. The second warning Jesus gave is an explicit correction. In response to the erroneous conclusion of the crowd, Jesus provides an explicit correction. In verse 3, He says, "Unless you repent and keep on repenting, you shall all likewise perish." Death is certain, my friend, for all of us. The fact that some of us live longer than others is simply the mercy of God. So let's unpack Jesus' explicit correction. But that will need to wait until our next visit, because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Now, Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, "Unless You Repent." Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, "Unless You Repent." I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. That address again, Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533, and request a free copy of this teaching, "Unless You Repent." It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, "Unless You Repent." And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.